On this beautiful day, seeing the sun and have the sun with us both at the same time, right? A Lutheran bishop tells of visiting a parish church in California and finding a stirring red and orange banner on the wall. Come, Holy Spirit, hallelujah. It declared in words printed under a picture of a fire burning. The bishop was also interested in the sign directly underneath the banner, which said, fire extinguisher. How many of us want revival? How many of us want to see God move through this society? How many of us want to see New England once again come back to where it was? Well, if you want to do that, you need to say it's possible. You need to say God can do it. You need to bring a match to light the fire and get that fire going. Not be, well, it's too late. Don't you know we're in a great apostasy? Don't you know people hate us? That'll never happen. Well, if you do that, you're right, it won't. You have brought the fire extinguisher. You've killed any chance of revival. That's what we need to understand, and we're going to do that by looking at his word to see how revival happens, what revival requires, and what we need to do as his servants to bring that revival. I'm afraid many Bible-believing churches have given up on the power of God. I'm looking at a godless America inviting God's righteous judgment on her wickedness, just like every one of you. I am looking at a country that I believe is in the midst of the great apostasy that is talked about, prophesied in Scripture, that will eventually lead to the rapture, to the seven-year tribulation, to the Antichrist rising that will bring in Christ's return. And yet, as of now, he has not returned. As of yet, I look at his fields, they are still white unto harvest. As of yet, I realize he is sovereign. And if he wants us to be part of that harvest, if he wants us to be the workers, he will provide the barns that will bring in the harvest of souls for his glory. Is revival even possible in such a wicked time? Should we just not give up, sit back, draw close to Christ where our doors locked, and merely wait for his return? You know, I've been getting more and more burdened for the lost sheep of New Hampshire, for the lost sheep of New England. They eat the poisonous weeds out there offered by the false shepherds as they run away and mock the God, the great God of this universe, the great good shepherd who will show them the proper place to eat. New England is the least churched area of this entire country. It is called the graveyard of pastors. And yet, what do I see out there? I see Todd Bell establishing churches in Maine that are thriving. I see John Wilson, that we just talked about, getting godly teaching into jails, into schools. I see other pastors talking about revival and doing what's required. I hear the call of Isaiah 6:8. Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. He has laid a vision on my heart, and I am answering that call. How will all this revival play out? If I could answer that, I would be the one directing it, and it will fail. I don't know yet. God's laid that on my heart, and it requires some work and some prayer and some understanding what he wants to do to get the Spirit's leading to make it so we'll go in the right direction. I'm working for the third great awakening in New England. It's up to God if he'll send revival or no. I cannot bring revival. I can just be obedient to God and see if God will send that revival. But I'll tell you this right now. If nobody answers that call, it will not happen. We must be faithfully do the work he calls us to do in his fields that the harvest can be brought in. Romans 10:14-15 says this. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? Revival requires God's leading, sought by prayer. Revival requires God's righteousness being brought down through righteous pastors. Revival requires repentance and a keen understanding of how far we have fallen from an almighty, holy God. I'll tell you right now, it is too big a call for me. But I have been discussing this with other pastors, with different churches, all praying, all coming together and praying, all combining our efforts, all using their various strengths, because each one of us has different strengths. And each one of us hitting it from a different angle. With the Holy Spirit's leading, peradventure will we see God send revival. We remember, it is God who is sovereign. We'll be used as He sees fit, and then give Him all praise, honor, and glory for whatever fruit He decides to give us from His harvest. Today, we're going to start a four-week series applying 2 Chronicles 7:14 to today's modern society. So, in 2 Chronicles 7:14, verses that are very familiar to most of you. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Dear Heavenly Father, as we look at your word, we see how revivals happen. We see the requirements from a sinful people, a people that have turned away from you and need revival. Lord, we need to humble ourselves. We need to pray. We need to seek your face. Then we look forward to the opportunity of you healing our land. And Lord, we know this is a fallen time. We know that the time of Christ's return is imminent. But at the same time, you have left us here for a reason. You have left us here to work in those fields. Lord, I pray that you would give us the wisdom, the strength, the guidance. Unify the churches in New England, that we may once again see New England turn toward you. We may see the people coming just to hear your words that want to turn to you. And Lord, we are willing to do whatever it takes. Lord, use us as you see fit. Use us in such a way that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Use us that your will be done in New England. We ask all of us your precious sons in their name. Amen. Now, 2 Chronicles 7:14, people accuse us of misapplying that verse. That was not given to the church. 2 Chronicles 7:14 was given to the nation of Israel on the dedication of the temple, seeing the fact that they would fall, seeing how to return to them. And yet, God's character is unchanging. God's character is eternal. The church is his people in this dispensation. Israel will one day see God heal their land as the bride of Jehovah. That'll happen in the thousand-year reign of Christ. Today, we seek his face as the bride of Christ himself. God promises of blessings for obedience and cursings for disobedience have not changed. These words are written for our understanding. These words are written to help us understand what it takes to bring revival back in any age. In this verse, we see God healing the land as people draw near to him. No ability, power, or work from us can bring revival. It will not happen. Only God can send revival to hearts seeking revival. But he will only do that in response to faithful people called by him, acting on faith to where we were called. Claim his glory for yourself, that revival will immediately end. We give him all praise, honor, and glory. We give him every bit of our work, and then thank him for any fruit he hangs in our vines. We'll be looking at all aspects from revival on man's side. And for the next 4 weeks, we're going to see very similar outlines. Today, we see each individual Christian must surrender to see God move in a great and mighty way. Now, all revivals happen through churches, but churches are made of individual people. The people must come together and have themselves revived that the church may see revival and then take that revival out into the world. So to see God move, we must do four things we see in 2 Chronicles 7:14. We must humble ourselves. We must pray. We must seek, and then we must repent. So humbling ourselves. Paul was given a thorn in the flesh. Why was he given that thorn in the flesh? He was given that thorn in the flesh because he had a great call. Greatest preacher of all time. Establishing the churches. Writing 13 books of the Bible. Pretty heady stuff. He was given that thorn in the flesh to keep him from having too much pride and falling. He was given that thorn in the flesh to remind him that God's grace is sufficient for him. Pride in our accomplishments turns off God's grace, and you'll see an end to any revival. We must realize that to be successful, we humbly answer a call. We humbly do his work as called, and we humbly give him all the praise for any fruit that he gives repentant sinners by his grace. 1 Corinthians 3:6 says this, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. If we do this idea of hitting all the churches in New England and doing everything we can, and nothing happens, Well, maybe it's because God's going to give the increase the following year. Praise God for it if he does. All we do are being living sacrifices to be used any way he sees fit. And he will bring the revival, if he brings the revival, when he sees fit to do it. And we will give him praise, honor, and glory for it. Now, any revival that will happen in this area begins with you as an individual member of a church. You are a sinner, just like the sinners you are trying to reach. God will empower you in faith if you respond to him and give him the glory. Be humble, you'll receive grace, and you'll see God draw nigh to you. Be proud, you'll have the praise of the world, but you will not have the praise of God. Turn over to James chapter 4, verses 5 to 10. James chapter 4, starting in verse 5. Now, James is a very practical book. It tells us how to apply these words in everyday life. So in James chapter 4, starting at verse 5. Do you think that the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Notice the order there. I can't resist the devil on my own. I've tried and I've failed miserably. Submit yourself to God, and then you resist the devil. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted, and mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. We are mere beggars, given God's grace, showing other beggars where to find the bread of life. Humbly bring them to the cross, let them see Christ, and then give Christ the glory for the hearts changed for his glory. If God's call will bring true revival, we may see great things. We may see outstanding things. We may draw attention to ourselves if we become proud and decide to take that glory for ourselves. That revival will end right then. Philippians 4:13 says this, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Notice that word. I can't do anything on my own. Nothing. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. We humbly come to Christ, ask him for that strength, and give him the glory and praise for that strength. He produces that fruit by being the vine. Now, where is the fruit hung? The fruit is on the branches. But a branch that's not connected to the vine can produce absolutely nothing. It dies and is burned up. So we give Christ the glory for working through us. We give Christ the glory for making our branch able to hold that harvest. And then we give him all praise, honor, and glory for it. As we go through God's call, we're going to realize we need revival daily. We need to realize we're going to have to stay humble, and we can only do that by continuing to go to God. You know, a lady asked Billy Sunday one time, why do you keep having revivals when it doesn't last? Billy Sunday answered, why do you keep taking baths? Well, we get dirty. We get in the world. We get our white robe spotted, and we have to go back, humble ourselves, and have revival in our own hearts once again that we can bring God's grace to others. Let us come to our call humbly, seeking God's revival for ourselves. Let us humbly do the work, seeing it through for God's glory, and let us humbly give thanks for any fruit that's produced because we didn't produce it. It was produced through the vine connecting it to the branch. All we did was do what God told us to do. So the first thing we do is humble ourselves. Part of humbling ourselves is praying. Praying to God to give us wisdom, that we realize we need his guidance. We do not revive ourselves. Our revival comes from the power of God to change our hearts. Our revival comes from fellowship with that God as we mortify the deeds of the flesh and turn to him, letting him cleanse us and prepare us for his work, making our spirit strong. We are in the flesh. We understand carnality. We must learn to be faithful in the Spirit. Let us pray to a Creator to learn that proper work. He created us. Men are often accused of not following the instruction manual. We're guilty. We need to pray and come back to it. We must humble ourselves, admitting our need of repentance, leading to personal revival and a clean heart. Come to Him with dirty hands, He won't use us. We pray to make our repentance genuine. We pray to draw closer to our God. We pray to learn of Him and lean on Him, and we pray to receive His direction, His wisdom, His strength, His grace. A prayerless revival is a dead revival. Do you really want revival? Listen to Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. We seek His Spirit over our comfort, our fleshly desires, our day-to-day requirements. If we do that in faith, relying on Him, doing His work, He will cleanse us. He will provide what we need and will create in you a clean heart that He can then use. So critical is this need of daily repentance. We need to pray often what David prayed in Psalm 139:23. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. You pray that prayer, you'll find out there are wicked ways in you. You pray that in humble faith, He will show you where you need to repent, and then will have you repent, showing your reliance on Him. That is how you get the power of God going, by putting your full reliance on Him. You cannot bring the pure, spiritual, living water in a filthy pitcher. You will only see His full revival if you start with your own revival. You must be fully cleansed. As you pray for revival, start with yourself. Cleanse your hands, ye sinful pastor. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded barber. Be afflicted and mourn, that ye might be used by holy God. That is what I need to pray every single day. I realize how far short I've fallen of God. I realize how filthy a pitcher I am. And yet, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And that is the same with every single person in here. That is the same with this entire church. A revival will not happen because Pastor Barber decided to do something. A revival will happen if churches get serious, if churches come together, if churches pray to God to send it, if churches do the work, if churches cleanse themselves. That is when revival is possible. One person will not have it happen. We need to have all the churches come together and do the same thing. Think prayer is not important? Jesus Christ was obedient as the Son of God. He prayed more than any other man as He was attacked by Satan. If you look at the Garden of Gethsemane, as a man, He was troubled. As a man, He prayed so hard that cup might pass from Him that He dropped, as it were, drops of blood to the ground. Any of you ever prayed that hard? That's the Son of God. That is the Son of God who is God. And He had to pray to get God's grace as a man. If He did, you think you might need to pray a little bit when Satan attacks you? Prayer is absolutely required. If you don't have it, you'll eventually compromise. When you compromise, Satan will let you go, and you'll think you'll have God's blessing. You don't. You've just killed any revival. If you desire to be part of a great movement of God, you will be attacked by Satan, who wants your failure. He will give you many opportunities to fail. We need to pray to be strong against the wiles of Satan. If you do fall, let me rephrase that. When you do fall, you then need to go to Him, repent immediately, and get cleansed once again to have your heart revived. That's why 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing, because that's how many times I fall. So we continue to pray. We continue to go back to God. And God will use us because we're humbling ourselves and praying for that humility. So the next thing we need to do, it says in 2 Chronicles 7:14, is seek God's face. We seek God to be cleansed by God that we may be revived by God. We seek Him, first of all, by praying just as we saw. But praying without knowledge is not efficient. We must seek Him as He calls us to learn of Him. How do we do that? The way He calls us to do. By His Word. Studying His Word. We are to follow and walk with Christ. Well, what is Christ? John 1:1 says He is the Word. So, do you want to understand Christ? The Word is right here. It'll show you how to understand Christ. You seek Him by studying His Word. Should we not learn of His Word if He is the Word? Now, we love Christ by keeping His commandments. We know His commandments by studying His Word. Now, Psalm 19:7 says this, The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving a soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Do you desire to be revived in the joy of the Lord? Do you desire to be wise as you are used by God? We see here the formula how to do it. We study His Word. The Bible is very simple. Doctrine is not so simple, but the Bible is very simple. It tells you exactly how to live. Study this. You'll get closer to God, you'll learn how to live for God, and you'll be used by God. You read His Word. You study it. You hide it in your heart that you can then keep His commandments. Desire a clean heart? Psalm 19 shows you how to have it. Turn back to Psalm 19, verses 9 through 16. That's Psalm 119, I'm sorry. 100 books off, that's worse than I usually do. So, Psalm 119, starting in verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord. Teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies, as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts, and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. How many of you have delighted yourself in God's statutes? How many of you have delighted yourself in how to stay pure? How many of you delighted yourself in understanding you're sinful, but you have shown the way of how to revive yourself from that sinfulness? Seek Him by His word. He will reveal Himself by His word. We must do our part if we want God to do His part. The last thing we need to do, if we do all this, why do we do this? We need to repent. Now, we repent by understanding who God is, what God is, and what He's left us, and realizing how far short we fall. We repent and return back to Him. Now, revival means you've already been vived. So, if you've been vived, you saw the love of Christ. You were joyfully saved, but you've forgotten your first love. You've gone back to the habits of this world, because we live in the world, right? So, we understand how the world works. We seek worldly comfort instead of the kingdom of God. Losing the joy of a personal walk with Christ, we have walked blind because we have chosen not to see. Not reading His word, you forget His commandments, and you are now led to sin against the God you love. Well, it's time for repentance at that point. If we want revival, we must understand and honor the only begotten Son of God. Understanding He is the creator of all we see. Understanding He alone is holy. Understanding He is the eternal King of kings and Lord of lords, in which the whole host of heaven constantly falls in worship to. Our society has lost its reverence for Jesus Christ. We make Him far too familiar and far too accommodating to our own desires. Now, I have issues with John MacArthur as he is a Reformed pastor. But one thing he does not lack is a holy respect for who Jesus Christ is. He tells of a pastor friend who told John that the Lord often appeared to him while he was shaving. John's incredulous response was, "And you keep shaving?" If Jesus was to come to me, I would be on the floor with Isaiah in total fear and reverence, not flippantly talking about Him standing by me like a common man. Look at Isaiah. When Isaiah got his call, he thought he was going to die right then. "I have seen the Lord. I am undone." God sent the coal to his mouth and said, "You are cleansed." That's what we need to understand. When we're in front of a holy God, I'm not worthy. When I'm in front of a holy God, there is no way He can use me unless He strengthens me, unless He cleanses me, unless He is the one that gives me the wisdom to move forward. If you're saved, you are a joint heir with Jesus Christ. You are not His equal, even as you are an adopted son of God and He is a son of God. You are His friend, not because of anything wonderful in you, it's because He chose you to be His friend. You are His joint heir because He chose you to be His joint heir, not because of anything you bring to the table. You are adopted as a son because God, in His infinite love, chose to adopt you. He condescended to to our low estate to reveal himself to us. We did not invite him down to be our equal. He lowered himself to lift us up into repentant holiness. Now, everyone wants to say he's our friend, he's all this. Well, he is, because he chose to. Not because he wants to accept us as we are, but because he wants to draw us up to him. He wants us to learn how to be a son of God that will be prepared for heaven. In today's churches and countries, we have become far too familiar with Jesus Christ. I love him more because I realize who he is. I'm a mere sinner with absolutely nothing to offer. I'm a mere sinner that deserves the hell that's reserved for me. I'm a mere sinner that has nothing that I can bring to the table for him. He can do it. Look at when he returns in the second coming. Yes, we'll all follow him. Yes, he will have all the glory of all the saints through all the church age following him on white horses. And what do? We watch. That's all we do. He doesn't need me. There's nothing in me that I can offer. And yet, in his love, he died on that cross for me. And yet, in his love, he has made me a joint heir, part owner of heaven, son of the Most High God. Praise God for it. Learn that holiness. Learn that greatness. So, we need to pray, seek, humble our sinful selves to approach Jesus, realizing just how far short we follow him. Repenting to let him forgive and lift us up, that we may move forward in his glory, mortifying the deeds of our flesh, and operating with the strength of his spirit, that in holiness we can see that revival happen. David showed us how to repent after Nathan showed him his sin of adultery with Bathsheba and his murder of Uriah the Hittite. Turn back to Psalm 51, 1 through 13. This is the prayer that you should give when you realize you've sinned against the Holy God. Psalm 51, starting at verse 1. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. He recognized how far short he had fallen. We need to do the same thing. Now, I'm not a sinful murderer. Well, I have proud looks. That's an abomination. I have lied in the past. That's an abomination. I have done the things just as evil as David did in front of a holy God, and that needs to be my prayer. And that is true with every single person here. When we realize what Christ did on the cross for us, when we realize the sin he's paid for, when we realize what he's called us to his glory, we need to recognize ourselves as falling far short and have that same attitude David did, realizing he had sinned against the God that loved him so, realizing that he had lost fellowship and wanting that fellowship back. You get fellowship back by repenting of your sins and turning to him. So to have revival, it must begin with us. Repenting to be righteous with Christ, then, as verse 13 says, we can teach others. So, looking at all this, Vance Havner says this: revival is the church falling in love with Jesus all over again. To have revival in this country, you must give the people in this country a reason to come to Christ. You must show a church full of people loving God. We're going to look at that next week. But to have a church fall in love with God, each individual member of that church must love God. And they must, in unity, love God, praying for that revival, praying for each other, and showing that love. So, to have a church fall in love with Jesus, we remember that church is made up of individuals, members that must individually love each other. Do you want revival in Berea, in his church? Seek revival in your own house first. To have revival, we desire revival. To desire revival, we must understand we need revival. Comparing ourselves with Jesus as we study a word, we realize just how far short we fall of his perfect holiness. We repent and reorder our lives to love others over our own selfishness. How do we find revival on a personal basis? It gave us exactly how to do that in 2 Chronicles 7:14. First, humble yourself. You are a sinner, falling short of the glory of God. There is no pride allowed in you. Second, pray to God that you may draw closer to God. Now, my wife kind of likes me. She kind of likes me more when I'm around her. We pray, we'll be around God. That's the relationship he desires. He will teach us if we come to him and ask to be taught. We want a proper relationship with our Heavenly Father and our joint heir, Jesus Christ. So now third, seek understanding by studying his words. Mortify the deeds of the flesh and understand how to do that by following his word. Turning from sin to God as you learn his commandments. And then finally, repent. See your sin, hate your sin, turn from your sin, and move to Christ. Make that choice. I hate my sin, Lord. I'm not going to do it anymore. Tomorrow you probably will. But the attitude needs to be, I'm not going to do this. I don't want to fall short of God. Give me the strength and wisdom to avoid it. And make that prayer every single time you fall. Want revival in this country? In his state? In his town? In his church? Physician, heal thyself. Humble yourself. Pray. Seek God by his word and repent. If you do this, God will heal your personal land. Your personal land meaning your household. Seeing your house healed, you can then teach others how to do the same thing. Revival is, you know, we talk about 10,000 people being saved in some revival. That is a false statement. 10,000 people have never been saved in a revival. One person has been saved 10,000 times. That's what we need to realize. Each person must make that choice, and each person must see the need of revival, and each person will only see it if we do it God's way, humbly giving him all the thanks, all the praise, all the honor, all the glory. And that's what we need to do moving forward. Next week, we'll talk about how to make the church fully revived. And we can't see revival in New England until the church is revived. So with that, let's do what we need to do. Turn to hymn 174 and sing about cleansing ourselves. Do you have a desire to see revival in this area? Do you want to see God move in New England once again as he did in years past? Do you want to see holiness come back, taken seriously once again? It starts with us. Are you willing to do what it takes to start that? Are you willing to bring a match to the revival fires? Or are you going to say it's impossible and bring a fire extinguisher? It begins with you. It's your choice. We need to come together as a church, but to do that, we need to come together individually first. Look at ourselves in the mirror, and as I've said many times, if you look in the mirror and you like what you see, you're not looking hard enough. Look in that mirror. See where you've fallen short. Repent of it. Let God cleanse you. And then ask God to send you. When he says, who will go for us? Answer Isaiah's call. Here am I. Send me. And however he chooses to use you. That's how we'll see revival. As I said, revival is not what we do. Revival is a choice of a sovereign God. But he only responds to the faithful people acting according to him. So as you go to prayer, I would ask each of you, do I need revival? The answer is yes, you do. I do too as pastor. So, do I need revival? Lord, show me. Search me. Lord, there are sins I know I'm committing. Let me repent of those today. Lord, there are sins I don't know about because I don't have perfect knowledge. Make today the day that you ask him to search you and then show you those sins that you may repent and then ask God to use you however he sees fit. That is the only way revival will happen in this area. So as we go to prayer, ask yourselves that as Gene will play one verse. And if there's anybody here who's not saved, never accepted the free grace of God, and has no idea what I'm talking about. You've never been revived. You can't be revived because you've never been revived. Come today, and I'll show you exactly how to do that. It's from His Word, the Word. And then you can be part of that great awakening, that great harvest, if He chooses to send it. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. And after she's done, I'll close. Dear Heavenly Father, we humbly come to Your throne of grace, thankful that You are there waiting for us, thankful that You will answer our prayers, thankful that as we repent, You will cleanse our hearts. And Lord, we come to pray that for Your power. We come to pray with burdens for the lost souls in New England. We see those fields waiting to harvest. We see all the tares out there, but there are souls that need to be saved. And Lord, we desire to be the ones called. We desire to be the ones that say, here am I, send me, in however You choose to use us. But Lord, to do so, we know that first of all, we must revive ourselves. Let us go as we pray, seek Your face, learning Your word, learning Your commandments, learning the grace of God, that we may show others the grace of a holy God as we bring them to the cross and let You humbly and let You graciously save them. And then, Lord, let us repent of everything that we do wrong, that we may show the world what holiness looks like, that we may show the world what a repentant sinner looks like, that we may show the world that as we were saved, there is hope for them. And let us give You all praise, honor, and glory for whatever answer You give us. And Lord, if there's anybody here who has never accepted that free gift, who may have thought they have but haven't, prick their hearts today, Lord. As they see Your words, let them realize they've fallen short. And let them realize today that they can come to the cross and You will lift them up as You condescended to our low estate. And Lord, let us go forth checking our hearts daily, daily coming back to You, daily confessing our sins, that You may use us as clean pitchers with Your righteousness imputed to us. We ask all of us in Your precious Son's dear name. Amen.